Welcome back to the XL Podcast. I'm Gavin, if you don't remember from last time. I'm here alone. Gabe is in Illinois right now. He currently plays for Pima Community College basketball team. He's on the Pima Aztecs, and they just last week won their conference championship. They are now in the national tournament. So they're in Illinois right now, getting ready to start their games tomorrow and make their way to the championship. So we're hoping that he makes it there. Fingers crossed. Everybody cheer for him if you can. Somewhere, wherever you watch your podcast, I'll try to put a link if you guys want to watch his games, if you want. But, yeah, that's where Gabe is. So I'm here hosting alone. From the last one, if you watch the video, I look a little different. I'm now rocking a mustache instead of a beard. And, no, I did not cut my hair. I'm just rocking a ponytail through the hat. So that's what I'm rocking today. That's my outfit of the day, if you guys wanted to hear. Just wanted to share that with you. But, yeah, so I'm rocking it alone. I've been talking to you guys. I had a couple fun stories to tell you. So I don't know if you remember from last time, but I believe I mentioned it last time, but I am a delivery driver. And honestly, most of my career I've been not a delivery driver, but driving in some sort. I worked in HVAC, so I drove a company truck, you know, to all the houses I was doing maintenance. I worked in lawn care, so I was driving to every house, you know, mowing lawns and whatnot. So a lot of what I've done has been driving. So I had a lot of great stories, as well as while I was dating my wife, we lived an hour and a half apart. So every other day after work, I would drive to her house, and every other weekend she'd drive down to me. So I have a lot of driving stories. I think we'll start off with this story. I really like this one. This one's a little more recent. Maybe we'll go a little bit in the past a little bit, but this one's, so I've only been a delivery driver for about a month now. And I deliver in the Salt Lake area, and unfortunately there's a lot of homeless people. But this is a story about some homeless people. So there's I pull up to the 7-Eleven. I have just like a little package for them. So I run in. And on my way in, I notice, all these people. And one guy, honestly, if you Googled homeless guy, this is probably the guy that pulls up. So he's got big poofy white hair, like Einstein-ish, and then a big long white beard. Then we have another gentleman. He's got short black hair and like a short stubbly white, or it wasn't black, sorry, white hair. That gentleman was African-American, and he had, short stubbly beard. They were chit-chatting. Obviously, I didn't really hear what they were saying, but from what it sounded like, just from the chit-chat, sounded like it was friendly, like they were buddies. Well, on my way out, I then run into them again. They're in the middle of the parking lot. Like, if you've ever been to a hockey game and you see them fist fight, or you've ever seen a hockey fight, they like, grab the other guy's jersey and they're just pounding each other in the face, right? This is what was going on. Just these two old dudes just going at each other, just boof, 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 boof. And as a delivery driver, I have to be quick, because as soon as I'm done, my day's done. So I want to get home as fast as I can. So I only watched it for the time from how long it took me to walk from the door to the truck. But there's also a large police presence in this area because of the homeless people. So not really kicking them out of places, but just when things get a little riled up and a little crazy, they kind of rein it in a little bit. So there was a cop actually in that parking lot at the time, weirdly enough. And so he stopped the fight before I even got to my truck. But it was so weird to just walk in and then see that. I was like, whoa, what did that conversation get to where you guys are hockey punching each other? Like, it was, I've been very blessed to not see a lot of fights in my life. So that was like one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen in my life. Cause like, I've never been mad at anybody enough to fight them other than my brother once. And that once got stopped very quickly by my father. And thankfully so, because that probably, that can be detrimental to some relationships. So maybe that's what could have saved me and Gabe's relationship. I don't know. Me and Gabe have never had a bad relationship. So maybe that beatdown would have been worse had my dad not stopped me. Don't know. Doesn't really matter. That was really weird. As well as, for all of you Salt Lake drivers, if you ever happen to listen to this, y'all suck. Y'all suck at driving, okay? Pay attention on the road. Get off your phones. Stop texting, okay? And pay attention when there's a big A truck next to you. And stop swerving in my lane, please. And also, parents, don't let your kid run up to the big truck when he's driving through your neighborhood. That's terrifying. I've never gotten close to hitting a child. And it's usually when I'm like pulling to a stop. I'm like, oh, I want to see the big truck. And they run. I'm like, oh, that's so cute. I'm like, no, don't let your kid run up towards the truck. It's terrifying. That's my worst nightmare as a delivery driver. I don't want to hit your kid. That would make me sick and I'd throw up. So please, stop it. Anyways, that's on my soapbox. I just wanted to say that. Please, if any of you end up hearing this, stop doing that. Thank you. And if you have children and you do end up listening to this, don't let your children do that, even though it's a cool big truck. Stop it. Okay? Let me build some backstory here. So while dating my wife, like I said, about every other day I'd get off work. I worked in Orem at the time, and I would drive up to the Ogden area, which luckily was only an hour, but still an hour trip to go see my wife and then drive an hour back. And because we could only do it every other day because gas prices were insane at the time, they've definitely gone a lot better, but there was just too much money. I was doing well selling cars at the time where I was at. I was a used car salesman, but still, holy crap, that was a lot of gas. I just couldn't do it. That was something else. So, and my drive back was an hour and a half because I lived a half hour south of Orem in the Spanish Fork area. So, not great, honestly. Not great conditions. Thank goodness me and my wife are married now, so I don't have to do that anymore. I just get to see her every day now, which is awesome. So, shout out to you, wife. I don't really know if her name wants to be mentioned on this podcast, so I'm not going to mention it until I have permission, which I didn't ask. So, we'll just call her wife for now. Anyways, so that's the preface. That's kind of our drive every single time I went. And one night, I'm driving home at about, it could have ranged anywhere. I left her house anywhere from 1 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the morning because we just wanted to hang out as much as we could. So we just, and I was very sleep deprived at the time, so it was terrible, but whatever. I was driving in Salt Lake. There's, you know, a couple bends in Salt Lake. There's kind of a more windy highway, part of I-15. And so I come around this corner, and I'm chilling in the middle lane just of the freeway because there's nobody on the roads, who really cares. And there's just a car parked, like right when you get to like kind of the apex of this turn, you know, if you could see the curve, just like that apex right there, there's a dude just parked. Not in the HOV lane, the carpool lane, but the one right next to it. So the second one in from the left. And he's parked in the middle of the highway. I mean, the speed limit's 70 miles per hour. So I'm like, yo, what's this dude doing? This is weird, right? Didn't think anything about it. I mean, I was sleeping five. I would have not thought any more than that. That's weird. Had he not then hit the gas and pulled up right behind me, right? Now, it's late at night. We're the only two cars on. Why does this dude have to be hugging my butt on the freeway? And so, of course, I get paranoid, and I'm like, what's this guy doing? This is weird. And so, he's probably hugged my butt for about 2 miles, and I finally decided, I'm just going to see if this guy's following me. So, I pull off the freeway, like just cut off. Like, I just see the next exit. Like, when I make the decision, I go, phew, and he follows me. I come off, there's a median, so you can only make a right turn. So, I make a right turn, and instead of, I just hurry as soon as the median ends. It kind of ends probably about 200 feet before the light. I just make a U-turn right there and get back on the freeway. And this guy follows me, probably follows me. So I'm like, okay, this guy's definitely following me. I don't know what his intentions are. It's definitely not good. I can probably guess that. So I call the cops. I'm like, yo, can somebody get a cop here? I tell her where she's at. She's like, are you sure they're following you? Like, you're just on the freeway. And I was like, well, I got off, did probably an illegal U-turn, if I'm being honest. And he proceeded to do the same turn and get right back on the freeway with me. And she was like, okay, that is weird. Honestly, good on you. That's crazy that you thought of that. I'll call a cop. And I was like, all right, sick. So cop pulls up. I was hoping there's going to be something a little more dramatic that would happen because it's like, oh, he's following me. He's going to get like a car chase. I'm sick. But he didn't. He just was like, oh, okay, cool. I'll pull over. Because, I mean, I guess technically other than following me, he didn't do anything illegal. But I think we could have gotten for attempted homicide. We're just going to say he was going to try and murder me. For the fun of the story, I was almost murdered on the freeway, okay? And that's what we're going to name this episode, everybody who's in. If you've made it 10 minutes in, The name of this episode is going to be Gavin Was Almost Murdered on the Freeway. We all know that's not true, but for the sake of the story, we're going to say that, okay? That was the weirdest one. That one was really, and kind of didn't rattle me, but it was like, it just seemed so bizarre. So the next morning, I almost honestly thought it was a dream. But then I looked at my, but then the next morning, like I went to call my girlfriend, or my wife now, and 911 was the call. And I was like, okay, well, I definitely called 911 last night. It couldn't have been a dream, right? So it got wild. And I had a lot of stories, like just weird drivers, weird things that happen at night. It got to the point where like I'd be calling my wife, or I'd get to work and I'd tell, you know, I had a couple of buddies at work where I'd be telling them like, dude, you'll never guess what happened last night. Got to the point where I was like every other day where I was like telling these stories and I thought, am I a liar? Am I making these up? Like I could have sworn I was making these things up in my head, but because it was happening so often, like this can't happen to people that much, you know, because everybody like every once in a while was like, oh, I have this crazy story. Or, you know, everybody has a crazy driving story. There's always, you know, some crazy driver or somebody flipped you off or cussed you out, followed you because they're angry at you, which that's a wild concept, but we're not going to get into that this time. But a lot of stuff like that. Like, everybody has their story, but I had so many in the span of, like, 8-9 months. That I was like, what the heck? Like, how's this even possible? So, another one, again, driving home from my wife's house was, so it was snowing. I drive a Honda Civic. It's front wheel drive. And at the time I had ball tires. So let's just put it this way. Like if you've been in Utah, you know it snows. When it snows, it snows. And this was definitely especially the, like this was a couple years back. So it snowed two winters ago. So not this past one, but the one before that. A lot of snow. And I was like, cool, I'm driving home at 3 o'clock in the morning in this snowstorm, and there's already a foot of snow on the road. And of course, the plows aren't out at that time. So I was like, sick, hopefully we make it. And so I, again, in Salt Lake, it's always Salt Lake, I swear. I make it like halfway home, and then stuff just goes down the gutter, just gets worse from there. So I come around this curve again. There's a curve, but it's kind of more like hillish. So kind of goes up and then down, but still kind of a bend. And at the top of this, again, this apex of this hill, my car decides to just lose grip of the road and do a full 360. Now here in Utah, and I'm sure everywhere else, maybe, I don't know, but what I was taught was when your car, if your back end starts to swing around from you, you just steer your car where you want to go, right? And a good idea is don't slam on your brakes, but tap them. Kind of helps catch the tire real quick, but holding them obviously locks the brakes, so not a good idea, but just tapping the brakes kind of slowly catches your car. And so, but for some reason I forgot all of that and was like, well, guess we're doing we're spinning now. And so my car does a full 360, catches the road again, and we just kept on going. I was like, all right, sick. Like did full 360, didn't hit the wall, didn't hit any, like other than the snow on the road, but like didn't hit any, like, you know, the side, the mounds built up on the side of the road, like nothing. It was just 360 and kept on driving. I was like, all right, sick. Well, we're not dead. And that's great. And that was a good thing, honestly. It was kind of fun. It was one of the more bizarre feelings I felt because, like, I was just so sleep deprived. So for your audio listeners, I'm spinning in my chair right now. But, like, I legitimately just, like, held the steering wheel and just, like almost unfazed, just spun in the car and then and then turned around. It was one of the most bizarre things that had ever happened on the road for me. That was a fun one. Also, whoever, PSA. No, not PSA. I don't know. If anybody ever happens to hear this, and they are in charge of the snow removal on the freeway in the Salt Lake City area, first of all, I hate you because you suck at it. Second of all, do better. Third of all, if I offended you, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I don't hate you, actually. I don't even know you, so I apologize. But please, for the love of all that needs to be said, that's not even a phrase, but we said it. Why, that same night, there was just a mound, like, I'm talking a mountain of snow in the middle of the freeway. And whoever's plowing the snow just, like, went around it, and I'm assuming he made the mound and then just didn't move it. I'm not kidding, like, middle lane, mountain of snow. And I was like, what the, I had to swerve out of the way. In fact, that, I actually did clip that my back end, because I had to, like, because it came around this bend, and it was like, boom, right there. And so I, like, it was another bend, and I hurried and spun, and I clipped it, and it dented the back end of my car. Luckily, my brother-in-law was just like, He's like, I'm going to try to fix it. And he messed with it a couple times when I pulled up here and here. Fix it for me. So shout out to you. Thank you. And yeah. Anyways, that happened. So whoever's in charge of that, please don't do that ever again. That was terrifying. Fun story from my past week. So me and my wife were... This is so chaotic. I'm so sorry to anybody listening to this. This is insane, but... another driving story, I guess. We'll get into it again. So, me and my wife, last Friday, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, we went to a Chinese restaurant, and we're eating some food, and it was really good. And I believe my wife just kind of made the joke. So, my brother had his conference championship that weekend. And up until now, like, I'm Gabe's biggest fan. My dad will say he is, but I'm sorry. I yell way louder than my dad, and he's a loud person. But, Dad, if you hear this, I'm way louder than you, so take that. Anyways, I love watching Gabe play basketball. It's my favorite sport, but watching my brother play is so much fun. I cheer so loud. I'm also probably his biggest critic, which is sad. I'm sorry, Gabe. I know you don't want to hear it, and it comes out of my mouth, so please, next time, just tell me to shut up. But I have never seen Gabe play in person. Well, college. I watched him play high school, but college, I've never seen Gabe play in person. And so, you know, my parents have gone down to like his, yeah, like a Christmas tournament. My mom's flown down a couple times. Thanks to my uncle, he, you know, works for an airline. So she got a good deal on tickets. So, you know, she's had the opportunity. My family has all had the opportunity to go and watch my brother play in person. And I don't know what it is. Like, I'm 25 and... But like, and my wife said it perfectly, but it's like almost like I almost have always felt, not felt like I know I can, but like I've needed permission to go on a trip, you know, not permission, but like my mom's like, hey, we're going to Lake Powell. Are you guys coming? Yes, we're in. Or like her family, hey, we're doing a family trip up to Idaho or something. Are you in? Yeah, we're going, you know, but never we've been like, let's go. Other than our honeymoon, we've never been like, yeah, let's just go on a vacation, you know, like let's go do something together. And I don't know if that was like a mindset I had where I was like, oh, I need like permission. I have an AirPod in my ear right now. That's what's bugging my ear. That's hilarious. So I don't know if like I needed permission, you know, like just a weird kind of brain thing that was in my head. Anyways, so my wife goes, anyways, we're sitting at this dinner. My wife goes, well, you know, we could just go to Gabe's game. And as I'm eating my food, you know, mouthful of food, literally I think my mouth was full of food. And I'm like, I'm not driving to Arizona right now. That's literally what I said. Like, kind of sassy, kind of being, honestly, kind of rude. I was like, I'm not driving to Arizona. That's stupid. And then the conversation pretty much goes where my wife is like, no, we actually could go. Like, we can go. And so as my wife's talking me into going, she also simultaneously mentally is talking herself out of it. So then we switched places. So now I'm like, no, we can go. I'm in. Yeah, I'll drive to Arizona. Like, yeah, let's drive. It was a 12-hour drive. So our plan, like we kind of joked, like we'd leave at noon or midnight, get there, drive through the night, get there at noon, and then go watch Gabe's game later that night, be able to hang out with Gabe, and then go to breakfast with him. And so was kind of the plan. I mean, that is what we did eventually. But it's funny. So me and my wife flip-flopped a couple of times. So then I was like, yo, we can go. We can go. Let's do it. And I was like, no, we can't. Can we afford it? Do we have money? You know, we have a savings, but it's not insanely large and we don't want to blow it on just going to Arizona. And so I'm like, well, can we go? And so as I'm talking my wife into it, I'm like, oh, maybe we can't go. And then she's back in it. She's like, no, we can go. We can go. We can go. And then I'm like, no, we can't go. And it got to the point where, like, we were still having this conversation, walking to our car, we're driving home. And then it's just both of us. It kind of got to the point where me and her are both going like, should we go? Should we go? And then I was like, I don't know, should we go? And then I just go, we're going. Like, I was like, executive decision, we're going to Arizona. We're doing it. So we did. We hopped in the car midnight, and I drove the first couple hours. I made it all the way to Scipio, if any of you care where that's at. And mainly because I was just, I'll be honest, I was kind of swerving on the road. Not bad, but it was definitely, and I was aware. And so I hit one of the rumble strips, and my wife was like, do you need to switch spots? I'm like, Yes, I was just making, like, I saw the gas station. I'm like, that's the gas station I'm stopping at. And so it was funny. My wife was like, do we need to switch? I'm like, yes, please take my spot. I'm going to fall asleep driving. So she took my spot. We then switched a little bit past Lake Powell. She drove all the way around Lake Powell, so the Arizona side of Lake Powell. And then I drove the rest of the way there. Couple things on our way there. Number one, when we switched kind of past past Lake Powell, there's like these two. I wish you guys were watching this because I've been making a lot of hand signals, so I look like an idiot most of this time. But there's two mountains, like just think like two, like a two-lane highway, you know, obviously going opposite directions, and then just two just like mountains. So there's like this road just going through this mountain, essentially, right? And then opens to this big, like, just open, not even valley, just boof, open earth. We'll just call it that, plain, whatever. Don't know my terminology of the earth, sorry. But it just opens up, right? And it's, but it's pitch black. I'm like, man, that must look really cool in the daylight. Like, because it's just like, you come off this mountain, we're driving down this mountain, right? So in my head, I'm like, this must look really cool in the daylight. Well, little did I know, I was looking at the Grand Canyon. Also, I've never seen the Grand Canyon, so hopefully one day I get to see it. We didn't have time, but on our way back, I did get to see it, at least from that same point of view. I was like, oh, this was that point of view that I thought was really cool. What does it look like? I was like, oh, there's the Grand Canyon. So that was kind of funny. Anyway, so I thought that was really cool. And then, you know, just told you that I saw the Grand Canyon from the road. But that was actually a really cool view. Yeah, because I just saw these cars parked, and I was like, oh, what are they looking at? I was like, oh, yeah, this is where I was like, oh, this is cool. What does it look like? I was like, oh, that's the Grand Canyon. And we had, like, just mapped out, like, how far would it be for us to go to the Grand Canyon? And it would have added a couple hours to our drive. We were already going to get home late, and my wife worked early the next morning, so couldn't stop, which is totally fine. I also worked early the next morning, so. But it was a really cool view. Like, you just saw, like, the whole Grand Canyon, and it was, like, so bizarre because it was, like, I've never seen it, but it was just, a crater in the earth. Like, where did, what, how, when, what, why? Like, I have so many questions. It was so cool. I mean, obviously there's a river at the bottom, so like erosion, but like how many years of erosion did that? Because like that's not like anywhere else that I know of. Like, that's crazy. So super cool. That was one of my, and also to the McDonald's and Flagstaff, I didn't go to McDonald's anywhere else, so I can't blame Flagstaff. I'm just gonna say Arizona. No, I can't blame Arizona. I'm going to blame Flagstaff. I know this for a fact. We were in Flagstaff. We stop at McDonald's, okay? And I like to eat. I know if you're looking on camera, anybody who knows me, that may not seem to be true, but I can put down food, I promise. My metabolism is just really fast, okay? So I'm one of those people who is very skinny, and I put down food, and then I stay skinny. And I know people are like, oh, that sounds so awesome. It's not awesome, okay? It's not, but whatever, I'll deal with it. However, we go to Flagstaff, and I preface this, that all of that food eating, because I did not like, when I go to McDonald's, I'm like getting like 3 egg McMuffins, an extra hash brown for each sandwich, and then a large orange juice. You got to get the large orange juice, right? But this time I was like, hey, you know what, you know, because I didn't want to spend a lot of money, so I was like, I'll just get one sandwich. I wasn't starving. I'll be okay. So I just grabbed my one little sandwich, hash brown, and I splurged on the large orange juice. My wife, same thing. Got the same price meal, is different, but same meal. It was like the McGriddle, right? $35, I think, is what I spent on that meal. Okay? $35. I can buy the entire breakfast menu up here in Utah for that much money. What the heck? That was insane. And also, okay, so we went down to Tucson. Next morning, my voice just squeaked right there. We go to Tucson. We go to breakfast with Gabe and his girlfriend. And it was awesome. It was a little place called Snooze. Great suggestion by his girlfriend. And I spent only, and like, this is like, you know, sit down. I got like a good portion of food, like a good amount of food, way more than I got at McDonald's, for like $4 more. Okay, so McDonald's, figure your crap out down in Arizona, at least in Flagstaff, because that was ridiculous. I wanted to throw my sandwich back. It wasn't the McDonald's worker's fault, so I didn't, but I wanted to throw it at someone because somebody deserved to get hit in the face. That was insane. That is way too much for McDonald's. I mean, McDonald's, you taste fantastic, but your food is fake, okay? Like, we all know it. That's not real egg. And if it is, holy crap, that's insane. That's gross real egg. Whatever. I mean, it does taste fantastic. I'm not going to say it's gross, but you know what I mean. So figure it out in Flagstaff. And I love that only like 4 people listen to this, so they'll never hear it. But eventually when we get there and somebody from McDonald's does hear this, please let them know down in Flagstaff. That's not okay. Because I'll be driving back to Arizona at least a couple more times. So somebody figure it out, please. Anyways, I'm sure you guys don't want to hear about McDonald's anymore in Flagstaff, so I'll stop talking about it. We went down. We went. And we were – my wife is friends with my brother's girlfriend, and so they're texting. She's like, hey, can you get Gabe to a store so we can surprise him, right? I'm just like, oh, yeah, I got it. What store do you want? I'm like, we don't care. You tell us. We're not, obviously, we're not from Tucson, so we're like, we don't know. A gas station, go get a drink. I don't care. Just get them there. She's like, all right, meet us at this Target. We're like, all right. So we pull up in Target. We sneak in, and, you know, we wrap around, kind of weaving through aisles trying to find him. I see him. So we get behind him, and I look at my wife. I'm going, I'm going to grab his hand just because that would be funny. You know, scare him. Like, who's grabbing my hand? Well, right then, Gabe moves his hand. So I'm like, what am I supposed to do now? So quick thinking, I'll grab his butt. So I grabbed Gabe's butt cheek, and at the time my hand was cold. And so this was Gabe, his explanation. So I grab his butt, and Gabe just slowly turns and just is like you know, like the face, like just imagine a stranger grabs your butt and you slowly turn. You're like, I'm hoping a person I know is grabbing my butt right now, because if not, I'm going to be swinging. That was pretty much what Gabe's look was when he looked at me. He just looks and he goes, and it's like, you know, jaw drops. Like, what are you guys doing here? Like, what the heck? And so he loved Gabe. And he goes, but one of the more bizarre questions I've ever asked, not this next one, but the following. This is our conversation. He goes, what are you guys doing here? Like, we came down to see you. Blah, blah, blah. We're going to watch your game. And then he goes, oh, did you guys find a Tucson? And, you know, that's a fair question. And I go, no, I wish. And then he goes, oh, were you guys just like here at Target and you guys found me? And I go, what? How did we randomly find you at a Target in Tucson, Gabe? I've never been here. Again, Gabe knows this. And so he asked me that. I go, no. And then he goes, oh, were you just following me on Find My iPhone? I go, no. And I pointed at his girlfriend. I'm like, no, she helped us. And he goes, oh. I go, of all the things to assume first, I would have assumed, I mean, I'm hoping, I would assume that the person standing next to me was the mastermind of this meetup. You know, that would make more sense than you followed me on Find My Friends on the iPhone. Like, what? Gabe, I love you, but come on, brother. You know better. Anyways, so we surprise Gabe. We tell him, hey, we're coming to watch a championship game. He's like, sick, dude. This is the game to come and watch. Now, for preface, they're playing this community college down there. It's called, I believe it was Chandler Gilbert Community College. They've played this team 3 times. Chandler Gilbert has beaten them twice. Gabe's team has beat them once. Pima has beat them once. So we knew it was going to be good. And every time Gabe's team lost by like 10, with under 10 points, 10 or under. And they won by like 20. Or a little under 20, like, you know, 18, whatever. So I knew it was going to be a good game. I was pumped. They were the 1 and 2 seed in their conference. So I was super pumped to watch it. I was pumped to see Gabe play in the championship game. Now, Gabe's team is very much more offensive focused. So going against, and like going, like they've scored out of their like 24 games, like over 100 points in like 15, 16, 17, you know, well over half of their games. So I was expecting it to be another high scoring game. So we get there, we sit with Gabe's girlfriend and her family, and we watch. And this game immediately is obvious a defensive game. They go back and forth. Well, So within like the first 5 minutes, I want to say, they were up. Like, we were at 9. They were up by 10. It was like 9:20, you know. And I was like, oh, shoot. This is not good. They're running away. We very quickly caught back up, thankfully. Went on like a little run. Caught right back up to them. We go into the half. Gabe's down. Gabe's team is down by 1 point. That's it. I'm like, dang, this is a close game. Second half, the exact same thing. They would go up by 4. We would go up by 4. We'd be neck and neck, whatever. We go, I want to say, into like the final minute. We're down by 1 point. Just down by 1. And this is what Gabe told me. I believe this is true, knowing what other things his coaches said to him. So in the timeout, they call a timeout. In this timeout right before Gabe does this, his coach is mad at Gabe. And he just looks at Gabe and says, will you try for once? Will you do something? Will you try on defense, please? Don't know what else he said, but he said that to Gabe in the timeout. Gabe leaves. Gabe hears the coach on the other team call out a play. Gabe knows this play. This is what he says to me. This is Gabe's call out. This is Gabe's story to me. So he knows this play. So he's hugging his man. So he knows kind of what the play is one big man's going to be at the top. He's going to get the ball. Another big man's going to pop out. They're going to like do kind of a screen play on each other. Then they'll give it to somebody else. But anyways, Gabe's hugging his. He's the center. He's 6'8". So he's the center. He's hugging his big man. So he knows the ball's coming to him. So they didn't even like, it wasn't even like a, oh, I see him. It was just like kind of like they're in robotic mode. So they just kind of like pump faked. That's the play. They pump fake at the top of the key and then go to pass. Well, they go to the pass and they quickly realize, oh, shoot. And Gabe just tips it. Boom. Hits a layup. Goes up by 1. All of us are going nuts. Like, yeah, let's go. They call a timeout, I believe. There's like 30 seconds left, and then it just kind of goes down from there. They're fouling us. They're fouling our shooters. Our shooters hit their free throws. And Gabe's team won by 3 points. It was one of the coolest games I've ever watched. Gabe was not lying when he said this was the game to watch. I mean, it could not have been more picture perfect, worth every 11 and a half hour, every minute of that 11 and a half hour drive I made. I lost my voice that night screaming so loud. It was the funnest I've ever had watching a sporting event. Now, obviously, that was my brother, so it's going to make it a little more personal. I'm sure a lot of people feel that way watching their family members play. At least I hope so. Maybe we just have a good bond. But I screamed so loud. It was one of the coolest games I've ever watched. It was awesome. You know, then we watched Gabe cut down the net. You know, his team cut down the net. And they, took pictures with their plaques and stuff. And so, and because of that dub, they're now in the national tournament right now. I know I already said that. They're the 9 seed. I don't know who they play, but their first game is tomorrow. And we're hoping that they make it to the championship. That's kind of our hope. So we're going to manifest it. Gabe, make it to the championship, because mom said she'd buy me tickets to Illinois if you do it. So make it to the championship, my dog, because that'd be sick. I'd love to go and watch you. And if mom, if you don't actually do that, that's messed up. How dare you promise me that? Okay. Better hold up your side of the promise. Anyway, so that was worth every minute of that drive. It was awesome. It was amazing. Couldn't have been more picture perfect. Honestly, like that was, it was like a movie. It felt like it was crazy. That game, it was dope. And then, yeah, we drove home and had to work the next day, which really sucked. I'm sure y'all have that feeling every weekend. I had it this past today. I guess it's Monday, so that really sucked. Anyways, so yeah, that was, I just got emotional, not like teary-eyed emotional, but like I got excited again retelling that story. It was so awesome. Well, I did want to give a little more background to me and Gabe as children. I don't want to talk about any stories about me and Gabe, just because I like hearing Gabe's side of these stories when I tell them. Me and Gabe have had a couple hiccups trying to start this podcast. We actually filmed one before and didn't work out very well, but we did tell a story, and I just, I'll talk about it because I posted a TikTok on our page, on our TikTok and a reel on our Instagram today. It's a video of Gabe, so I don't know why. Oh, shoot. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. My microphone just decided to... It's just ungluing itself from my table. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm going to have to, like, hold it. That's hilarious. Anyways, we're just going to hold this, I guess. So me and Gabe have always made videos of us doing things. There's a billion of them. I'll post them all. You'll see a lot of them. There's plenty. So the one I posted today, me and Gabe are really into doing like stunts, I guess we'll call it. Like, how could we fall or crash? Cool. Like, I just want to be like stuntman. I don't know what the premise of this video was. I don't remember what we were doing. What I do know in the video, it's cropped out on our TikTok, but in the full video, the full screen, I'm wearing a cast. I had broken my arm playing basketball. I'm throwing a pillow at Gabe as he runs and jumps on an exercise ball, like, you know, bounces off it, and I throw a pillow at him midair to like make him like, you know, hit the ground or whatever. Now, when I told this story in our first or our attempted first episode, this was my favorite part. So I tell the story. So this is what happened. So Gabe runs, jumps, boom, lands on the ground. Funny crash. He's like, all right, I'm going to do it again. He does it. I throw the pillow at the exercise ball. Gabe falls right on his butt. And he like it just pauses, like shakes almost, and then just looks at my mom. We were all down in the basement. He looks at my mom, who's sitting on the couch. You can't see her in the video, but she looks at her in the couch. And then he just rolls on the ground and starts shaking his leg and like crying. Gabe, I am so sorry. That was the meanest thing I've ever done, I think. To any of her, like, that was terrible. I'm so sorry. It was so mean. I know I'm happy right now, but but watching that video and seeing your face made me laugh so hard. Again, I apologize. That's so mean. That's terrible of me. But it was funny. I'm sorry. And my favorite part about telling the story for the first time in ages was, as I start to tell a story and I go, I hope we have the video, Gabe goes, I have the video. I know what you're talking about. Like, immediately. I didn't even say anything. I just said, I hope you have this video somewhere. That was all I said. And Gabe says, I know what you're talking about. I have it. And as I tell the story, I'm like, yeah, I did it on purpose. And Gabe goes, you did that on purpose? And I go, yeah. If you can't see my face, but I specifically remember looking at the camera and I was like, I'm going to do this. And then I threw the pillow. Immediately felt guilt. And I'm glad up until now Gabe didn't know, because that was a terrible thing I did. It was so mean. I definitely bruised his tailbone. So, Gabe, again, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for laughing just now. No, I'm not. That was the funniest thing. It's been well over 10 years. That's one of the funniest things I've ever done. I have zero regrets doing that. That was hilarious. I'm going to own it because that was funny. That was one of my favorite things I've ever found out in my adulthood, is that Gabe thought I did that on purpose or did that on accident. Gabe, I don't have that bad of aim. Okay. We are both athletic. You know, I don't have that bad of aim. Okay. So don't ever talk that much trash on me. But to be fair, I did throw pillows. You can talk trash on me, I guess. Anyways, that's the only story I want to talk about me and Gabe, because we've already talked about it. It's on our TikTok now. Go watch it on our TikTok at XL Pod. It is a funny video. You will laugh. You'll probably clench a little bit, because dang, did that hurt. I'm sure. We all hurt our tailbone once or twice. What I do want to get into is our mom and our dad, okay? I want to talk about them, because they're some of the coolest people you'll ever meet, okay? But they're also, like, opposites. But, I mean, opposites attract, right? So let me give you a rundown of my mom. Mom, athletic, funny, outgoing. Like, she's a people person. I don't know if I'd say, I don't know how to explain her. Like, I'll be honest, I don't even know what the phrase free spirit really means. But she's just, my mom is unapologetically her. And not in a bad way of like, I'm going to do whatever I want. Like, in like the best way of that sentence. Like, just, she is who she is. And she's great at who she is. And I love it. And everybody loves her. She's awesome. I mean, there's just like a few that don't. And those people are insane. I'll be honest. And obviously that's my mom. I'm biased. But most people that meet her also say the same thing. So I can't be that crazy, right? Anyways, and my dad, also a very funny guy in his own way. Not like cracking jokes. He's a dad joke kind of guy, and so we make fun of him for it. Dad, stop with the dad jokes. But secretly, I do like them, so keep going, okay? They do make me giggle a little bit. And it is who you are, so, and I like that. So don't stop, but stop. But don't stop on the download, you know what I'm saying? Anyways, but my dad, he's also funny, super patient guy, super nerdy, and we love him for it. He is the tech guy. We call him Google. He has, I feel like most dads have this, but I mean, my dad just has like a plethora of just, I want to say unnecessary knowledge, but we asked my dad the question. He's like, oh yeah, I know. Most of the time. I mean, and if he doesn't, he quickly looks it up and then locks that in for life. So the next time I ask him when I forget, he'll be like, yeah, I got it. And so that's just a perfect combo. It's so funny. One of my favorite things about my parents is I think just like stereotypically, like I feel like moms are always like, they're the ones who have your backs in sports. Like, oh, you had a bad game or a bad performance or whatever, and whatever you did, whether it be, you know, sports or band or dance or cheer or whatever you did, right? Your mom was always there like, oh, you did so good, honey. You're so good, blah, blah, blah. And our mom was not that lady. That was our dad. Our dad was that lady, okay? He was just, I mean, he was. He's our biggest fan. Not saying my mom's not. No, mom, I'm not throwing shade at you. This is just who you are. And you were supportive of us. Just you also happened to let us know what we sucked at. It was constructive criticism, but you were the one criticizing us. So you get this role. I'm sorry. But yeah, my dad was that person. My dad's like, oh, you did so good. You did the best. You're the best person out there. I mean, my dad, and again, my dad, he always had like the latest tech. Like I remember my dad had like this little white camcorder, and he just like would hold it, and we had like these like crappy videos. I was just like my dad, like videoing us from the stands at our games, which I've been super grateful for. I mean, a lot of people have dads who are super busy and can't be there, not to their own fault. You know, they're providing for their family, and or maybe it is to their own fault where they, you know, aren't there. But whatever the situation is, there's a lot of dads who can't be there to watch their kids. And I've always been fortunate enough to have my dad at like all of my games growing up, which was awesome. I mean, I had a super supportive dad there to watch all my games, which was really awesome. And then we have our mom. Again, our mom was the criticizer, you know. You get in the car afterwards and you're like, oh. And you know, like, anybody who's grown, I'm sorry, if you've grown up in sports and you leave a game and you're like, oh, I did so, I mean, there are games where you leave that, but like, if you've never thought you did bad in a game, you are delusional, okay? I'm sorry, you are not that good, okay? Even professionals, I'm hoping, go in and like, I did not have a good game. You know, at their own level, like, they're phenomenal, right? But at their own level, even those people know, like, they got to get criticism. And that's how you get better, right? Anyway, so, you know, you get, I was aware of what I did wrong. I mean, I get in, I'm like, oh, I had this foul. I did this stupid thing. I turned over the ball here. I did this. So I know these things. But my mom doesn't care. And she knows I know. And I was like, you sucked. My mom has said that to me, okay? I love her to death, and I love her brutal honesty, and it's why me and my mom honestly have a great relationship. But she comes in, and there's one time we get in the car. I think she's only said it like once or twice to me. But she gets in, and she goes, when I was like, oh, you did so good. She goes, no, we didn't. You sucked. I go, mom. And she's like, you did, okay? You did not do good. And then she goes, you know, X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. This is what you did wrong. I was like, yeah, I know. And my dad goes, you did good. You know, like kind of gives you the, winks at you like, no, you did good. Don't worry about a dog. Like, it's good. And honestly, I could not have asked for better parents. It was the perfect combo, because obviously, you know, you got your dad building you up and you got your mom. I wouldn't say tearing me down. It wasn't, she said I sucked twice. But usually it was like, okay, you did this, but let's do this, you know? And she was like my coach. I mean, she was like my personal trainer. I mean, we worked on things together. And so there was the criticism, but she was there to back me up and coach me to get better. So at no fault of her, she helped me out. I became the basketball player I was because of her, because she's the one who introduced me to it. I've been playing since I could dribble a ball, I feel like. So super awesome. Yeah, they're amazing people. Our parents are hilarious. My mom is a wild lady. I think me and Gabe got a lot of our sense of humor from her. Let me describe my mom. This is my mom on a daily basis, I feel like, with her friends, with her coworkers, with me, with my wife. She loves my wife. They're great friends. We're driving in the car. This is Christmas time. Windows down. I don't know why, but our family likes to yell out the car at people. People we know. It's never like, it's usually not random people. Sometimes it is. Not mean things. Like one of my favorite things is when my mom would drive me home from school sometimes. My favorite thing to do was roll down the window and just see kids, especially if I knew them, and just call them by the wrong name. Like, hey, you know, his name's like Ryan. Hey, Jackson, see you later. Don't know why. That made us laugh so hard as children. It was one of the funniest things ever. I say children, I am going to admit this. It may have been when I got home from my LDS mission. I could have been 20 years old. I don't remember. I definitely did it while I was in high school with my mom in the car, okay? Again, no harm. Weren't yelling like curses at people, but just like, hey, Jackson. We did it one time to our front door neighbor, to a kid, and we were like, I think we yelled Jackson at him, actually, funny thing. And he crashed his scooter. And he felt so bad. We're like, hey. And he looked and just kind of like waved at us like, oh, hi. Thought it was funny, too, and then proceeded to crash the scooter because he wasn't paying attention. So we're sorry, front door neighbor. Our bad. But again, stuff like that. We're not malicious. We're not yelling crazy things out the window. But it is honestly childish and very stupid. Now, my mom didn't yell this out the window per se, but the windows were rolled down. I think it was around Christmas time. Don't really remember. But we're driving. I want to make up a bunch of crap. I really do. I really don't know. Let's be honest. This is the only part of the story I remember. But let's just build some backstory just for fun. I believe I was making fun of my mom's sense of humor. I like to tell my mom's sense of humor. It's stupid. It is dumb, but it is funny. Like, if I tell her, like, your sense of humor is dumb. Like, she likes dumb stuff. That's what I mean when I say it, but it is also kind of dumb. Anyways, well, my mom goes, no, it's not. And then my mom proceeds to just yell out the window, rum-pum-pum up your butt, is what my mom yelled at the door. My mom is over 40, okay? And just is screaming that out the window, and we proceed to laugh so hard because my mom just goes, rum-pum-pum up your butt. And I go, Mom, what the heck? I don't know why she yelled that to this day, but it's one of my favorite quotes from my mom. I think we're going to put that on her grave, honestly. If I am in charge, that will be the quote, you know. In loving memory, you know, Melissa Oldham, rum-pum-pum up your butt. That will be, that's, maybe not in loving memory, Melissa Oldham, rum-pum-pum up your butt. I think that might be the perfect way to lay my mom to rest, honestly. Mom, don't die. Please, I will miss you, but also know that is what's going on your grave, I've decided. If you put me in charge, so you might not want to put me in charge. Dad, he's funny on accident. I mean, he is also funny sometimes, but he's also funny on accident. Our favorite story of our father. So my dad has ADHD. Self-diagnosed. Well, actually, no, I think he was diagnosed with ADHD. I think he did go and talk to somebody about that. I'm self-diagnosed. Because I don't... It doesn't affect my life that much. It does affect people, other people's life, but I don't think I have it that bad. Probably do. I don't know. It's probably why I'm able to talk to myself for so long. Anyways, so... I don't go off on wild tangents. I'm so sorry. Anyways, my dad has 100% has ADHD. And so I do know how his brain works. Like, you know, you say something, let's just say... No, this will be a perfect example of the story. So we're talking, can't remember what we're talking about. But something along the line of like, we're talking about cars, maybe Tesla was mentioned, maybe even Tesla wasn't even mentioned, but like stars and stuff like that. Well, my dad then starts connecting dots, you know. I know how the ADHD brain works. I know how you get there. You're like, okay, cool. They mentioned stars, space, SpaceX, Teslas, Elon Musk. I'm sure that's kind of where my dad's brain went. I'll confirm. If you guys really care. But out of nowhere, we're driving to Texas, and my dad then just goes, like, we're having a conversation about completely something different. Like, you know, oh, well, there's like wind turbines. We'll just say that. Oh, look at those wind turbines. Those are so cool. Blah, 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 blah. Look how, like, you know, these big fields of wind turbines. We've never seen that. X, Y, Z. And my dad just goes, you know, he's driving, staring just forward, and just goes, Elon Musk is funny. We all look at my dad and we're like, what? Where did that come from, Dad? And he starts just going off on this tangent about Elon Musk. And we're like, again, I know my dad's brain was working. And I'm sure I can figure out how he got there. But that's my dad's funny. My dad is the most random human being of all time because of his brain. His brain just goes on these weird tangents by the alone. Or, like, I mentioned a topic. We're like, oh, yeah. So we were up camping in the mountains, blah, blah, blah. And then we'll go, okay, now we're talking about mountains. Now we're talking about animals. Now we're talking about vacation. Now we're talking about family. Now we're talking about, like, we'll be 14 topics down the line. And my dad's just been brewing this whole time about his thought he wants to mention about camping. And then he's like, oh, I was watching this YouTube about this guy who was camping in the woods. And we all look at my dad and like, what? You know, we're talking about puppies now. And we're like, what do you mean camping? Because we were just talking about camping. I'm like, Dad, that was like 20 minutes ago. That is how my dad's brain works. I don't know about other dads, but that is how my dad's brain works. And it's one of the funniest things because it to us, obviously, I know where he's at and I know what he's doing. But obviously, just out of the out of the blue, if you're talking about dogs and your dad's like, yeah, so I was watching this YouTube video about this guy camping. What does that have to do with about dogs? Because if the next sentence is, and he has a dog, we're lost. What are you talking about, dude? So that's my dad. Dad, I love you. You're awesome. Super cool dude. If anybody's ever met him. I mean, my dad's an insanely large human being. And just in stature, he's just a big dude. I mean, anybody who ever asked, like, you know, first meet him and they're like, oh, about your family, because I'm tall. You know, I'm 6'6". Gabe's 6'8". My dad's 6'6". He's 6'5", but we'll just give him the benefit of the doubt. He is 6'6", 300 plus pounds. I like to describe him as a small bear. He is. He's a small bear. That is what a small bear is the size of. Like, that's a insanely large person. And he's most patient human being. Dad, this is from me, from all of our family. I am sorry. We bully my dad. I mean, again, because of his randomness, and then we proceed to make fun of him. There's a lot of funny pictures of him that we have that are awesome that I won't share, Dad, I promise, unless I have your permission. But we bully my dad. Honestly, it's something we make fun of at this point. It is bullying. And my dad just laughs with us and just makes a joke. He's like, you guys are bullies. And then just sweeps under the rug. He's like, whatever. So, Dad, I'm sorry from me and all the rest of the family. They might not be sorry, but somebody needs to say it. So, apologies to that. But yeah, hanging out with, so me and Gabe growing up, hanging out with our families. Obviously, we had our parents. I'm the oldest, so I was the experiment child. We'll end it here with one of my favorite stories. It makes me laugh. Hopefully, I can make it through it because it makes me laugh every single time I tell it. Me, Gabe, and our sister Cameron were notorious for being terrible at cleaning. We could clean, but man, did we drag that crap out. And I don't know if a lot of other kids did that. I don't know. I don't really care about other kids' lives. I didn't ask them. Okay, my life was just, I would drag that crap out all the time. And so we were downstairs. We have a really large basement. And we had destroyed it. I mean, toys everywhere. So my dad's like, we need to clean this basement. Get it cleaned. Okay? Now, when my dad was in charge, he wanted that crap to get done. So he would come down, check on us every once in a while, make sure we were getting it done. My mom was a little more like hands off, like, hey, get it done. And she didn't care. You know, you'll clean it the next day. You'll keep cleaning until it's done, right? And my dad's like, no, just get it done today so you can do whatever you want tomorrow. You know, that was my dad. And I feel like it was more like he was trying to help us out. My mom was like, screw you guys. I'm not babysitting you, okay? Not a bad way. Like, I get it. I probably don't want to either. Like, if I was like, hey, go clean. If I had kids and I was like, go clean, I'm not coming down and watching every time. So, good. Kudos on you, Dad. And, you know, they had their own styles. And both worked. My wife might say otherwise, but I can clean now. Okay? Anyways, that's besides the point. Okay? So, my dad checked on us every once in a while. So, we knew that. Total chaos then ensues in this story. Okay? So, we're cleaning. My dad, and it makes me laugh just imagining what it looked like when my dad came down. So let me paint you a picture of what our basement looks like. So there's these stairs come down. The stairs are looking at pretty much like a corner of a wall. They kind of come down and look at the corner of this kind of 10 by 30 foot kind of hallway with a couple doors. So there's a door right to your right of the kind of, you know, just a little diagonal right of you. That's storage room. Directly left, like right on the wall where the stairs connects to, is a bedroom. Then right of the stairs, you know, on the wall where the stairs come down, toy room. And then it opens up and then it kind of, so it's a hallway and then just a big kind of like spacious area. Goes back to our other storage room that hopefully becomes a theater and then another bedroom. So hopefully that paints a pretty good picture. So you turn right and you see just an opening, but it's just like 10 feet. So Cameron's kind of tucked back more towards, if we're looking at the 10 foot opening coming down the stairs, you come down the stairs, turn right, and you're looking at the 10 foot opening into the bigger area. Cameron's just a little to the left. I think you can see her. She's, who knows what, playing with a toy. Gabe's like, I think, drumming on our Rockstar kit. Not playing Rockstar, like Xbox, like the game Rockstar, or I think is what it was called. Yeah, Rock Band. That's what it was called, not Rockstar. Rock Band. Gabe's playing on the drums. Bam, I think so. I could be wrong. The part that, I'm so ashamed. And the part that makes me laugh so hard is my dad seeing this. So she's doing that. Gabe's doing that. I have my hands like on the top of my head. Okay. As like, think like bold, like I'm making my hands like kind of like a bulldozer and I'm dragging my forehead while I crawl, like pushing my foot, like crawl on the ground, pretending to pick up stuff. I'm like, oh, I'll be a bulldozer. I was not young, okay? I was probably 9 or 10, okay? Don't know if that's too old to be doing that. I don't think you should be dragging your forehead on the ground. What on earth was I doing? So just the mental image of my dad coming down, he just sees one kid, okay, playing with toys. They're not cleaning, so upset, but whatever. One kid's just jamming out, not playing the video game, but just jamming out on a fake drum set. And then his oldest son dragging his forehead for the entire length of this basement. The basement's probably 50 feet long. For the entirety of the basement floor, I am dragging my forehead. Probably have rug rash on my forehead from rubbing it on the ground, bulldozing the mess we had made downstairs. Why did I do that? And so I'm sure my dad was like, I think I may have dropped my kids, at least that one, on his head a couple times too many. Because what the heck? Who thinks of that? Anyways, that's one of my favorite stories. It makes me laugh so hard every time. It just blows my mind. I don't know what I was thinking on that one. We'll end it there. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We're going to have a... we're starting XS episodes. So these are the XL episodes. XS are on our Patreon. Yes, we're just going to start a Patreon from the get-go. So you guys, once we start getting people on there, we'll have a big kind of library of just these smaller episodes. So they'll probably be like 20 or 30 minutes long, not as long as these. These are going to be like about an hour long.